Tommy, have you ever had a hole in one?
No, guys, I love the talk, though. My dad's got one, and like you said, Greg's a rug burner that just kind of skittered its way down a hill and found its way into the hole. And, I mean, I love my dad, and he likes to get out there a couple times a week, but not the greatest golfer. And I'm envious of the hole-in-one. I've been close a couple of times, like 8 inches close. I still haven't eagled, so for you to drain one in two is pretty darn impressive. And, guys, honestly, I hope I can play as long as I can walk, because I love golf. It's just, I think it's a great activity. Good to be out. Got in a quick round with the family today, by the way, which was excellent. The weather today, tarps off, is right, boys. Unbelievable out there.
Did you just say you've never had an eagle?
No. I've blown eagle putts. Like, I get the
yips.
Wow. Yeah.
I've had numerous eagles.
Yeah, that's not good. Like, that's not even, like.
Like, on a par five, you've never had a three?
No.
Wow.
No. Jeez. Guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I buckle
okay.
under the pressure. I just.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair.
That's well, amazing.
Maybe three footers are my enemy.
Buddy, go see our good buddy Nick at Sports Psychologist, because clearly it's in between your ears.
It really is.
That's disappointing.
And maybe you could take the Carolina Hurricanes with you, because they might need to talk to their sports psychologist after blowing it last night.
Touche.
Oh. So let's take a look at some of these series. When you look at these the Montreal Canadiens, it's a great story. And what I see from them, when I've watched them, I see a lot of effort and I see a lot of structure, but maybe not the depth needed to take down like Philadelphia. Is that a pretty fair representation of what may end up happening to these guys?
Struds. I mean, I think they're in bonus time right now. Good on them for getting past Pitt. And I know Carey Price is Carey Price. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a tremendous goaltender, still at the top of his game, and he's one of the older guys in the league when it comes to premier goaltenders, absolutely. But you're right. I mean, you knew that the Cinderella story with the Habs probably wouldn't go as far as some others in this return to play. It's just, they were a team that was already looking to next year prior to the pause, and even there was questions about their depth during the season. And even though they're scrappy and rambunctious and all of that, it got them past Pittsburgh, which is fantastic. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Philly was just not, I don't want to use a cheesy cliche and pun, but they were flying going into the postseason. They were playing absolutely tremendous hockey. That is a team that's well constructed, finally found a goaltender in Carter Hart that's turned it up a notch and turned it from a strong team into potentially an elite team. And the Habs were, you know, fighting an uphill battle going into that series. So to see them down 3-1, I don't think it's too much of a surprise. And the fact that they won a game and were able to kind of hold in there as long as they have, to me, I say that's a bonus for Montreal. So Habs fans, I mean, you got some bonus hockey from your team, and you got a series win in a very bizarre time in our world.
When you look at the Avs and the Coyotes, are you surprised the way that the Avalanche are kind of having their way with the Coyotes?
Yesterday surprised me, yeah, when they just blew up for that many goals. And basically, you know, they opened up the floodgates themselves. I thought Arizona would be more disciplined and structurally disciplined and be able to hold the fort better and again play that scrappy style of game just to stick with the Avs, and then you see the Avs just kind of flex their muscle, and now I think Colorado is kind of finding their wind and they're finding their playoff legs, Struds, and you know, you find those teams that get into a groove in the postseason and they look unstoppable, and unfortunately this is an Coyotes team that the Avs could just kind of, I don't want to say run over, but man, they're going to run away with it, and then the Avs are going to, you know, they're going to build the confidence, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, and whoever they face, I mean, good luck to them. But we kind of expected this from the Avalanche, and the one thing about the Avs that surprises me is their goaltending has been surprisingly good. I mean, both guys they're not elite level goalies that you look at it and go, oh, that guy's going to stop. He's going to be a brick wall every night of the season. It's just like they just get it done by committee with the two platoon goaltenders, and then they let the stars do what they have to do. And, I mean, if you want to bring it back home to the Oilers, you go, geez, I wish I could have that situation. But the other thing, too, is those two guys in Colorado aren't letting in egregiously bad goals regularly, at least once a game.
Tom Gazzola joins us. Yeah, you look at the Avs, who, of course, are the number two seed. They will take on either Dallas or the winner of the Vancouver St. Louis series. Whereas, you know, because if Calgary wins, they're automatically taking on Vegas. There's no way they can play, well, I guess unless there's a shock and somehow Vegas or Colorado loses, but I think we all agree that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Tommy, we've been looking at, you know, the Oilers blue line and some changes that are necessary for them. Does Tyson Barrie interest you at all?
Yeah. I mean, Griggs, if you want to switch up the look of that back end and you feel that there's a stagnation there, and we know that there's been a handful of guys that have basically built up, you know, what is it, five of the six players that have regularly played on the blue line. You know, Andre Sekera was out this year, got let go, or he bought out, and then he goes to Dallas. So five of the six you were talking about earlier with Shauger have been there for the last few years. And if you feel that you need to give it a different look and a different tweak, I'm cool with that. Like, to me, that's like, okay, fine. Like, I think that blue line, the way it is right now, you know what you're getting, and it's okay. It's good enough. But if good enough isn't kosher anymore and you need to change it and find a new dynamic, then okay, then look at changing something up. So a guy like Tyson Barrie that maybe doesn't defend particularly well or isn't known for his defense and known more for his offense, obviously, and the way he can handle a puck, outlet passes, he can lug it up the ice from time to time as well. Obviously, it didn't work out that well with him in Toronto this season. But if you think that different look and that different element can kind of give this Oilers blue line a change in dynamic and it might give it a bit of a bump up, then I think you look at it. You want to improve your team in all aspects. Absolutely. Of course. Now, having said that, I still think the goaltending is a big issue. And then the second thing is, you know, not to pump Shauger's tires, but he's pretty sharp. And it's what are you getting back? How do you use the return back for whoever you decide to trade? Because let's face it, guys, like what are you going to get for a Chris Russell at his age and his price point? That's a tough move. Like, it might have to be an Adam Larson, or do you look at maybe a Darnell Nurse or an Oscar Klefbom moving on from one of them? You need something in return that kind of, you know, appeases you, right? It's an interesting topic, and I think it's worth merit. And if there's something out there that really are presented, you go, okay, I'll look at that. So you could sign a Barrie, sure. But if you're looking to move out one of those guys, you gotta at least patch up a hole somewhere else.
Talking with our good friend Tom Gazzola for the Chronicles, talking all things sports. You know, just circling back to the Edmonton Oilers. You know, we haven't really talked about the coaching staff. And when you look at some of the deficiencies we saw in the way that the team played defensively, you know, are we not giving that, or are we giving that group enough of the, like, due kind of negative press that maybe they need for the team not maybe doing their job defensively?
Oh, interesting point. Struds, there were times this year, especially early on, where it seemed like the players understood and they played poised and they grasped whatever new elements and concepts were thrown their way this season. I mean, they had a tremendous October. November was pretty good. December, obviously, the entire team took a step back. And when they were playing good, it looked like they were sound defensively, not a lot of panic in their game. So, and I think even on the Chronicles, we talked about it. We said, hey, guys, like, is it not seem relevant that the Oilers are playing with some poise here and maybe they're getting the message from the coaching staff and this is what's being implemented and instilled in this group is to maybe not have the jitters and not make that questionable play to just fire the puck up the wall or make that weird, you know, the release valve play right into the middle that can be great at times, but it can kill you. It seemed like the Oilers had gotten that ironed out to a certain extent. But the funny thing is, there is a flip side to that. When they were bad, they would make those silly plays. And maybe it does come back to the coaching staff, but overall, I think the coaches did a pretty good job with this team, and Maybe you know, it's between the years. You talk about my game on the green. It might be between the years for some of these players too, that when it's coming down to tight moments or pressure moments and situations, they get flustered and they make the wrong play.
Tommy, we will chat with you tomorrow. Have yourself a great evening.
All right, I'm going tanning, guys.
Oh, enjoy it.